Hey, everybody. It's Monday. Yeah. It's paranormal time.
And it's Jenny's birthday.
It's Jenny's birthday today.
Jenny's birthday.
The big 5-0.
Yeah.
Like Hawaii 5-0.
Yep.
Went or 5-0 like the police.
Went to the British restaurant. It was good. Had some fish and chips.
The Magical Meat Boutique.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
I'm like, what a great fucking name that is.
They had real British people in there.
Live and in person.
Yeah, live and in person. I was entertained.
I was, yeah.
Got some of them on video.
We did, yeah. I should put that. Well, I put the one video on Facebook, but that wasn't the main one that she was in. I haven't uploaded it yet. I took pictures of the food, too, but I haven't put those up either because I forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot. I did go on TripAdvisor and give them a good review, though.
Oh, good.
Because she said, our server... Elaine, she said, hey, if you go give us a good review on TripAdvisor and you mention her name on there, then she gets an extra $100, like, at the end of the month. Like, the people with the most mentions or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, there's that whole thing. But, yeah, it was, like, I'm glad we found that place. It's only, like, 10 miles from here.
Yeah.
And it's in lovely downtown Mount Dora, which is a lovely historic district not far from here. I'll have to go down there and fart around sometime.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good. I had a chicken curry pie.
Jenny's dressed up for her birthday. She's looking good. Legs looking good. Boobs. All an idea. I'm getting too popular on this show. I'm getting popular about because I'm talking about Jenny all the time and threatening to open up the OnlyFans. But it's not going to happen, people. All right, don't get... Our OnlyFans material is just between me and Jam.
You're so full of shit, Tom.
That's how it is. I'm kind of not in a good mood. I'm trying to psych myself up.
Well, you're not in a good mood.
Yeah, well, I was kind of halfway sleeping.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, I woke up really early. I usually do anyway, but I woke up at like 5:15. And then, because I had to go to the bathroom again, like I had to get up like 3 times to pee in the middle of the night. So I get up at 5:15, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to get back in bed and sleep for another couple hours. And then, of course, I couldn't. So so I laid there for an hour, and then I was like, fuck it. So 6:15, I got up. So then, like, we went to the restaurant, and then we went and picked up the cake, because I went to Publix Bakery and got a cake. Man, that cake's delicious.
Yeah.
Wow, it's rich as shit, though.
Yeah.
You really have to eat it in small.
People are still showing up. We're going to start here in a minute. But
it's caramel pecan.
Yeah, it's just too rich. It's good. I got to get little bitty slices of that.
It's good.
When you get down to the fat part of it, that's where all that frosting is. I was just like, I was stopped dead in my tracks. I couldn't.
Well, you have to think, too, that we had just come back from the British pub place. And he got fish and chips. And the fish they gave, that was no joke.
It was massive.
Massive. Yeah. I'm kind of glad it was delicious. Like, he gave me a bite, but I was like, I'm kind of glad I didn't get that because there's no way I could have eaten even half of that.
Yeah, and Elaine, the waitress, she's like a British pub waitress. I got her, man. I got her on video for tattoos and everything, you know. And she didn't really give me a choice. I just said, you're gonna have fish and chips. I said, I am.
Well, that's what you were gonna have anyway.
And I told Jenny, I said, they got cod and they got haddock. He said, you're gonna have the haddock. Get the haddock. Haddock. She yelled from across the table. I said, haddock, because the haddock was more. She goes, it's much better. It's a big old piece. I said, okay, we'll get the headaches. I let her order for it.
I kind of laughed at her t-shirt, which had a British flag on it, and said, I'm not yelling, I'm British.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a cool place. They got a nice bar in there and everything.
She's bragging that she got her an American man. It's fucking funny. I got it on video.
I think it's on there. I think it recorded.
I was laughing, yeah.
Because it's like, I gave it to him to record, so I don't know I don't know if it recorded or not.
Okay, yeah, but I'm not getting much sleep. My fucking new protocol fucking got me on some shit that just fucking sleep for a few hours and then wake up and then go back to sleep and then wake up.
Welcome to my world. Well, like I said, after a while, I just kind of like, fuck it, and I'm just like, it's not even light out, and I'm just like, well, I might as well just get up because I'm just laying here bored, so I might as well get some work done.
I'm going to come way back on the fucking stack. Bring the dosage back. It's kind of fucking with me, not being able to sleep. It's burning my legs up, man.
Yeah.
I'm putting welts on it. That shit's fucking having some kind of weird reaction to it.
Yeah, it's fucked up looking.
Yeah, Trent. Yeah, so there's Trent in there and Master on
it. Hey, it was your idea. Nobody told you to take that.
Turn you into a motherfucking minotaur.
Or something. With a bunch of welts that can't sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's worth it.
No, it's work. It's working real bad. It's fucking. I can feel it just peeling fat off me. But yeah, it's good. It's just not that good. You know what I mean? Not that good where you're taking that much of it. I'm gonna come down some. I think it's too much. Try to get it. I'm not in any hurry. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm trying to prep for a show or something. You know.
Everybody wishing me happy birthday. Zach says happy birthday again. Thank you. For some reason, I kept having the weirdest dream over and over again last night. I went, what was it? Are you going to tell us, or are you going to be like, Tom's welts can't sleep? Oh, no, someone helped him. Tom's welts can't sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, the injection sites kind of pop up a little bit after about the day after, like little half a little ping pong balls, and they're around for a day or two, and then they come down, but you got to... It, never mind.
Yeah, why are you talking
about little injections?
Why are you talking about your welts, Tom?
Yeah, he's a little trying to fucking dilute it with fucking more mild fucking testosterone and stuff. But like I said, I'm open about what I do. Y'all know.
Well, you know, whatever.
Y'all know. It's not like it was back in the days when dudes would lie about shit. At my age, you can do what you gotta do.
I had a couple messages today that I had somebody message me and said, hey, your Facebook thing said that your birthday today was, and that you were 50. It's like, I thought you were 36.
Oh, yeah, that's good, yeah.
That's what the same guy at Circle K said.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that's good, I guess. His manly lumps, says Tammy. Right? It's like...
They're temporary.
I don't know if this is really the way we wanted to start the show out, but...
See, that's how she's coming.
But you went there anyway.
This is a good episode, though.
Well, I let Tom pick the episode because, like, he kept, like, I was in here, like, trying to do something. I had, like, something that I had to do. And, like, so he's, like, going through it. He's like, what about this one? And I was like, we did that one already. What about this one? We did that one already, too. And then, like, I couldn't find, I was looking for my list because I wrote down a list of all the ones we've done before and I couldn't fucking find it. I don't know where it
is. This one's from
Pookie ate it.
This one's from 2012. I don't know what season that is.
It's season five. Okay. Season five, episode five.
Right. There's still a lot of good ones in season five. And this one, I think, has a pretty credible witnesses. And the case is strong. It kind of matches up with certain things that I saw. It's kind of like that bad house I was in, but this one's actually, it's mostly having dreams, but this one's actually moving stuff. And there's apparitions. And it does move objects, doesn't it? Yeah. Or is it just, does it ever actually move an object?
Kind of. Sort of. I kind of got confused because it seemed like I know that the episode is called Dark Dreams.
Yeah.
So they didn't necessarily, but a lot of it is
dreams.
But they don't really, like, I don't know. They do kind of say that it's dreams, but they're kind of like blurring the line.
Yeah, they blur the line sometimes because the person who's having the dream thinks it's real. And and you as the audience think it's real too, and then they wake up. And I don't think it actually ever moved an object in the waking world, but they were dreaming that it was moving objects. Because remember, the first thing he does is that he thought the damn pictures on the bed next to him.
Yeah, that's right.
Were moving.
See,
but
I don't know if that ever really happened.
I think
really
he dreamt that they moved.
The only thing, because I was sitting there thinking, well, is this whole thing just like him having nightmares and they made a whole show about that? But that he did say that, like, that his kids saw the apparition.
Saw the apparition.
Like,
right.
Saw the same guy that was supposedly in his dream. So that's why he thought it was real.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I'll allow it.
Yeah.
Because other than that, I think it would have just been all dreams.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much all his dreams and people seeing apparitions and feelings of dread, like you're being watched and, you know, like going down to the basement, it feels bad there. Dreams and visions, paranormal dreams. It's what they are. Which that one house that I was in, I had those. They're weird dreams that seems like they're coming from outside, and they're a message. That was the one where I was kept seeing the visions of the damn starving puppies inside the pipes.
And oh, that's right. I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, I kept being shown that, and I don't know what it meant. Some of the pipes went straight down, and I could see it like X-ray vision, pipe going straight down. The pipe isn't there in my room in reality. It's only there in the dream. Imagine, like, next to your bed, there's a fucking 5-inch pipe going straight down into the floor. and you can see an x-ray vision of that pipe going all the way down through all three floors and going into the basement, and then about another 30 feet down underneath the basement floor into a chamber filled with fucking starving puppies. That's what I was shown.
That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, very disturbing, you know, and it was shown to me as if it was something important, and I didn't even really want to know. You know what I mean? I didn't want to know if there's any kind of damn chamber, you know, down underneath there.
I'm afraid, you know? I probably would have had to check, because I'd be like, there could be real puppies down there. I have to help them.
Well, they would have been long dead. I don't think that's what it was. It was
Murder Hornet says, lay off the acid.
Yeah.
Speaking of dreams, Zach says, cause I asked him about the weird dream. He said, someone was chasing me into the yard of some crappy motel, and I kept doing something different every time, but I kept falling, like in a video game with multiple choices. God, yeah. I hate fucking dreams like that.
Yeah.
Next Dimension Media says, I know being from Florida, this is not your first rodeo, referring to the hurricane.
Anywhere by the hurricane.
But yeah. I hope you guys stay safe this week. Yeah, we'll try. I mean, like I said, the house is supposedly built for hurricane standards. That doesn't necessarily mean anything if it's, like, really bad, but... The shitty thing is that if the power goes out, because then, like, the power might be out for, like, days and days.
I got generators.
We got a generator.
I got two generators.
We got two generators.
And one of them is, they're both good, and they're new, and one of them is a fucking powerful one. But I don't think it can run all the air conditioners, and I don't have the hookup for the side of the house yet. I mean, they wanted $2,000 to get that hooked up.
Yeah, that's a little steep.
Sorry, so it was a high priority, but that's a lot of money. To just pay all at once.
We still have those two window units, don't we?
Yeah, I got all the window units and all kinds of stuff, so I can run that.
Yeah,
I'll just run extension cords up.
Put them into one room like we did at the
Put them in the windows and run an extension cord up the awning.
Yeah.
And have them out there in the back.
That's okay.
I just need to get fuel, but I'm not going to get fuel until I know that this thing's going to be heading towards.
Because they always kind of like to.
They always kind of come like they're coming.
Well, they don't really know like where it's going to go, so they don't want to like leave it too late, and then everybody's like, "Well, we didn't have time to get ready." But it's like, you know, then they kind of like err on the opposite side, where when it's still like 700 miles away, they're like, "Well, it could hit you, so get all your shit together," which is probably like a good thing to do anyway. But
if I'm going to go down there and get fuel, I'm going to get at least $100 worth of fuel. Now, I'll burn it in cars over time, but that's just another $100 that I can't really afford. I don't get paid till the end of the month. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I got it, but I don't want to run that low, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's only a week left in this month,
right.
So
chances are we're going to be all right, but we'll know.
You never know.
We just keep an eye on it.
I mean,
it's too early. It's way too early.
That's what I mean. Like I said, it's good to keep an eye on it, but they do try to like warn you way ahead of time, and sometimes it like freaks everybody.
I think it's going to hit south of Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, we're still going to get some of it, probably, unless it drastically veers off course, which it absolutely could do, because I've seen it do that before. Everybody's like, oh my God, here it comes, and then it goes, bloop.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't fuck up too much, because I'm supposed to go to Disney with my sister next Sunday.
Yeah.
So I hope
that
it doesn't,
shit
like,
could turn and go towards Louisiana.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I've seen that actual thing completely happen, where, because I think when I lived in Daytona, they were like, oh my God, this is coming, like, right up you guys' asshole, and then, like, at the last minute, it was like, zoop, and it just, like, went up like that, and it didn't even, we got nothing.
Louisiana, Mississippi, Gulf Coast is like a fucking prime zone. That place has been slammed over and over and over again. So, just as bad as Florida, and it could easily just turn. They do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's weather.
It's
there's so many factors.
Yeah.
You know,
and if it goes out in that Gulf, it'll speed up because the water's warmer there, and the fucking hurricane speeds up out in the Gulf as it starts heading towards Louisiana, Mississippi. Warm water, shallower or something, I don't know. Something to do with the way water flow is there.
Yeah.
Okay, we can go ahead and start on
Glenn
this.
Glenn Little says, sorry, Jen, happy birthday. Upside is you'll have less of a shit, give less of a shit next year. Still looking good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you should see the booze, man. I was getting ready to grab on these things, man, right here on the show.
But that's all.
I wouldn't get any I wouldn't get any Super Chat money for it, though. And then
so there's no point to
there's
it.
There's no point in it. See?
Oh, man.
No, she's looking molestable.
Molestable?
Yeah.
That's a good word.
Yeah. It's not the trend talking. You're looking good lately.
Well, thank you. Oh, I have to show you this card that Tom gave me, because look at that kitty on there.
Doing kung fu.
I could, either doing kung fu or doing mind control.
He's doing kung fu. He's a ninja.
Oh, that's right.
He's a ninja.
Also kind of looks like Mind Control, though.
Yeah. What's it say in the middle? Something about the ninja?
Yeah, it does say about a birthday ninja.
He's doing kung fu.
Yeah, I'm like a birthday ninja. Looks so serious.
Yeah.
That's like what Pookie's face is like. She's just like very, very serious all the time.
Never can't go wrong. Never can go wrong with kitty cards.
That's. I kind of feel like the last few years we've we just keep giving each other kitty cards.
Yeah.
Just because, like, if I see a card that has a cat that looks like Pookie or a cat that's doing, like, a funny shit up.
Zach says he's going to send us some more Super Chats when his new job kicks in. All
yeah,
right,
he got a new job.
Yeah, good. Thanks.
At a print shop. He's very excited about it. Danny Rowling said Jenny officially graduated to Cougar Goth status by turning 50 today. But really looks like he turned 39 just saying, hey, I'll fucking take it. I'll take it.
She's been on that bicycle, man. I'm doing a diet and fucking supplements and shit. And she's
God, I just ride so much. I'm with so many fucking miles on
that
bicycle.
Yeah, she do 30 miles a day.
If I rode, like, in real life, I'd have been, like ridden across the country by now.
You should see her legs. Her legs are looking real good. We're going to do a photo shoot. You and legs and the heels and shit. Fucking, I'm always keep. You guys know I got that shoe problem. Okay.
The shoe problem.
Yeah, I got a shoe problem.
He's got a shoe problem.
I do. It's not so bad where I just need the shoe and don't need the woman anymore. If there's a woman and there's a shoe, it's just fucking mind-blowing
to me. He's just pretty
fucking mind-blowing. I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either, Tom.
Some kind of fetish I picked up over the years.
And the more uncomfortable the shoe, the better.
It's got to be kind of fucking really high heels.
Because then I'm always just
very
like,
uncomfortable.
Oh, man.
They got to look
like I'm going to break my ankles.
Yeah. Like
in this shit.
They got to look like bondage fucking implements and shit. I guess it's kind of like the Chinese dudes in the foot binding type
thing.
Yeah,
weird.
That fetish, that the small foot is possible or something. But I don't know. Just
something
about real aggressive looking shoes. They don't have to have super skinny heels either, like, you know, some of the stuff that, you know, like platforms, I like those too, you know, big old fucking goth platforms, and so they don't have to be little. I don't really like little shoes. I like big shoes. I like them both. It just depends, you know.
Camp Guy said, I wish girls still wore pantyhose everywhere like when I was in high school.
Mm.
I don't like pantyhose like the nude ones. I like black tights though.
Yeah,
I wear black tights if I'm wearing a skirt. But I don't like nude pantyhose. I have white ones too, but
trying to break her of that.
Break me away.
Of that fucking not wearing fucking stuff that's nude or just going bare legged. That shit looks so fucking cute.
I don't know. I just
it looks so cute. You got good legs.
I just don't like to.
Just saying.
Zach says, "How sad is it that I never learned to ride a bike? I can never stay balanced as a little kid."
A bicycle?
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, you know, it happens.
Good. It's just like not learn how to swim or something.
Well, I know a lot of people that don't know how to swim either. Yeah. You know what I mean? My grandma never learned because she was afraid of putting her face.
One of the first things that they taught
me
was
in the water. Yeah, I learned to swim when I was really, really little. Yeah. I loved to swim.
Basically, in a southern family, they throw your ass in the water as a baby. Fucking, you learn how to swim, but you're gonna be around water.
Yeah, I don't think I wasn't that young, but when I was little, like we lived in an apartment complex that had a pool, and like my dad was the pool guy.
Pools, creeks, fucking lakes and shit. You got to teach in this environment. The kid has to be swimming by 3 or 4. You know, I was a toddler. I could swim.
Yeah, it was before I went to school for sure. Yeah. I don't remember. But the weird thing is,
I don't remember learning.
Neither do I.
I
don't remember learning.
I don't remember learning.
Just kind of like, I don't remember learning how to swim, and I don't remember learning how to read.
Yeah.
I just knew how to do it.
I know my mom just took me to the pool and floated, and then I could swim before I knew it. I could swim underneath the water and everything.
Yeah.
And I could speak, but I don't really remember it.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I must have been 2, 3, maybe.
I mean, because my mom was real into, like, pool and beach and everything like that, so she always, I mean, I was the youngest. Or the oldest kid, but, you know, so I was 4 before my brother was born, but she used to take us to the beach all the time. So I'm pretty sure I knew how to swim before my brother was born. Zach said, swimming is my favorite exercise, but I've never had a house with a pool. Yeah, I've never lived in a house with a pool either. We've lived, like, our last house, the community had a pool, like, the house didn't have a pool. But I've lived in, like, some apartment complexes that had a pool. But that's about it. I couldn't get away with it because
even when I was in California as a little kid, we were always going up to the Sequoia and fucking Lake Clarko and stuff. So not even having anything to do with the South, just the lifestyle we had in California, you had to teach your kids to swim early, or you couldn't trust them. because you're going to be into campsites and around all that water.
And in Florida, like, a lot of people's houses do have pools, and you can't, if you don't want your kid wandering off and falling in there and drowning.
Yeah, they have to learn how to swim or they'll drown.
So, yeah, I mean, like, my friend, when she had a kid, like, she took that kid to swimming classes when that kid was, like, still in diapers, you know what I mean? Like, teaching her how to swim, which a lot of people do here, which, I mean, you can't blame them, you know?
I mean, once you know how to swim, once you know how to ride a bicycle, your parents will cut you loose. We were like feral, going down into the storm drains and going to the fucking swamps and up in Mississippi and just going anywhere. You'd be all right. They didn't worry about serial killers and shit. They probably should have, but that was rare, you know. And another thing is that we were never alone. We always traveled in big packs of boys with packs of dogs with the boys. That's another thing. Little boys and dogs are about the same, but wherever we went, we'd always have three or four fucking dogs with us too, kind of like babysitters.
Dogs are better than little boys.
Yeah, similar enough. Similar interests, chasing shit, digging shit up.
Danny Rowling said, "Yeah, the Ghost Soldier episode definitely had a birthday cake scene, but wasn't scary at all.
No,
being told by a discount, like, that's why it was, we thought about it because it had the birthday thing going on." But then I was like, well, why don't I just let Tom pick one that he likes? Because he's like, I don't really like that episode. And I was like, well, okay, why don't you just pick one then? So he picked this one.
I like this episode because it sounds credible. The tale is not super wild. And the family seems to be pretty credible. The guy telling the story is just a friendly guy, you know. And they got a guy playing him in the episode. Looks just like him. I kept losing track of which was the original sometimes. I get confused. They had veneers on the fake one. His fucking smile would be fucking shining throughout the darkness and shit. And then they switch over to show the real guy during his interview, and he did kind of have a big old smile,
almost Gary Busey level teeth. Not that extreme, but kind of along on that spectrum.
He had just a big
on
smile.
The Gary Busey spectrum.
Yeah,
but like a few steps down from Gary Busey. Not shitting on him. He seems like a nice man.
Yeah. I would say more like Gary Busey's son. What's his name?
Jake Busey.
Jake Busey. More like that.
Yeah. Well, Jake Busey's got some pretty big choppers, too.
Yeah.
But maybe not as crazy looking.
Not as crazy,
But that's... Well, yeah. And the thing about this... Okay, so they actually did... I kind of feel like a lot of times on A Haunting... Maybe they started doing this later on, like after the first four seasons. But I feel like a lot of the episodes that we did before... Like, they'll talk about the case on the show, but then I'll find out later that the person on there, like, wrote a book about it. But on this episode, the guy had written a book about it, and they mentioned it, like, at the end of the episode. So this guy named Chris Gibbons, he wrote a book called Trespass that came out in 2011.
Yeah.
I think it's just a novella.
So you can get the book of this, Trespass. And there's got a website, trespass.com, evidently.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's still up or not, because I looked on Amazon, and it's, like, on Goodreads, and it only has, like, 4 reviews, and, like, 3 of them are, like, super, super positive, and, like, 1 of them is super, super negative.
Okay, so you never know what's going on.
So I don't really know what's going on, and, like, the one print one that they had was, like, $1,000, so maybe, like, it's out of print.
Wow, $1,000.
So I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. And I read a little bit of, like, an interview that they had done with him, what they did. Because apparently he wrote the book first, and then A Haunting approached him. That's how it seemed like it was.
Somebody's trying to scalp one of his books for $1,000.
Yeah. Well, it happens a lot. Like, especially
if there's not many
of them out there. Like, they figure, hey, why not? Maybe some crazy person with more money than sense will come across it and want it really bad. I'm like, it's not likely, but okay. It doesn't cost anything to put it up there, I guess. Jeffy Art said, Jenny's birthday is so epic, the skies down here in South Florida are ripping open. Stay dry, everyone. Yeah, I kind of feel like that's, I think they're getting some of that hurricane action down there.
Are they?
I kept getting, like, on my little thing that gives you the little weather updates, it kept saying hurricane on there. I'm like, there's not a hurricane outside right now. What the fuck are you talking about? And then it kept saying flood, and then it kept saying tropical storm. And I'm just like, tell me this stuff when the shit is, like, actually... coming, like,
it's still
in a
day
hours.
Or 2 away, I think.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I thought. And honestly, when I looked at the, unless it speeded up from the last time I looked at it, I thought, like, it probably wasn't even gonna really affect this area until, like, later in the week.
Yeah.
Unless I'm, you know, unless, like I said, it speeded up. Maybe it did. I don't know.
probably just going to be a tropical storm by the time it gets here.
Well, I don't know. The longer that it's over water, that's usually bad because that makes it more powerful. If it's over land, it usually, like, weakens some. So there's that. All right, so are we going to start talking about this episode
now? Go ahead and talk about
it. Are you in like a good mood now?
I'm starting to warm up.
You starting to warm up?
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't want you to be over there grousing and grumbling.
No, I do what I want.
This was the episode you picked. That's what I was saying. Yeah.
I was just sleeping.
Well, you got a nap. I didn't. I've been up since 5:15.
I didn't. Yeah. Okay. I've been through this already.
Yeah, that's what I said. So I'm sleepy too, but that's just how it works. You're an adult. You have to be sleepy all the time. It's just kind of like a thing that happens. That's just how it happens.
Get some shit there, man.
Well, it's true, though.
Good.
All right. So, like I said, this one's called Dark Dreams, Season 5, Episode 5. So this takes place in Grand Rapids, Michigan. By the way, I did not have time to type out my notes, so I'm reading from my little notebook, which I just, like, wrote down really quick, like, while we were watching the episode last night. So, as I mentioned, this is the Gibbons family. Now, Chris Gibbons is the dad, and then he's an attorney, right? They said he was an attorney, like, with his own practice. And his wife's name is Kay. They didn't say what she did. And they have, like, four kids. Their names are Andrew, Sammy, or Samuel, something like that, Sarah, and Patrick. Now, all of them have, like, a traditional Irish band. It's one of those family bands. I looked it up. They're called the Four Leaf Clover Band. So, like, the music that you hear in the episode is actually them. Like, they did actually come and, like, record music for that, he said. Like, I saw that in the interview with him. So what they do is they decide they're going to buy this house in Heritage Hill, which I've never been to Grand Rapids, Michigan, but apparently this is, like, a really, really nice historic area. And if you buy a house there and refurbish it, you have to, there's, like, rules about it has to look, like, historically accurate, like, from the time period that it's from, because they want the neighborhood to look all old-fashioned and everything. They want it to look like that, yeah. So they have to maintain them in their original condition. So he buys the house, and he's very excited about it, but his wife was like, yeah, it needed a lot of work. And then she says, our last house took 9 years to renovate. So when she discovers that her husband has bought yet another house that needs extensive renovations, she's not really all that jazzed about it, she seemed. Yeah. She was just like, I just wanted somewhere where we could, like, move in and, like, actually start living, like, a normal life instead of just having to, you know what I mean? It's just, like, which is understandable. Because, like,
everywhere.
Yeah, like, 9 years to renovate a house, that's ridiculous that your, like, life would be upheaved like that. But she's just like, I don't know. I don't know about this. But he's like, okay, I promise that I will get all of this renovation done in 1 year. Now, I'm not really sure because on the show, they showed that he did all of it himself. I kind of doubt that. But, I mean, you would think that he would have to, like, hire people to come in. It's like, how the fuck would he have time? Because he was working, too. Like, they said he worked part-time at his practice, and then, like, nights and weekends, he would... I was like, I don't know how much work this house needed, but one person doing all that, that would take longer than a year,
I don't think
I
they showed
imagine.
The real house or anything.
Well, no, they never do. Yeah. They never do.
May not have been that bad.
Well, I don't know, because she was sitting there saying... Well, one thing that she said, one, it needed a lot of work, and two, when he said, I'll get it done in a year, she's like, she was kind of like, no fucking way. Right. So... It was obviously, like, pretty extensive. But they showed him doing all the work himself. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they showed on the show. But he said, yeah, I'll get it done in 1 year. I promise it'll be done because I know I don't want to, like, you know, have your life upheaved and everything like that. Now, pretty much, okay, so, like, the first thing that kind of happens, I guess, a week after they move in, like, he moves in first, like, to work on the house, and I think they, like, live at the old place for, like, a month or two or whatever until, like, it's kind of, like, sorted out. So he's cleaning some shit out of the basement, and he's like, the previous owners, whoever they were, they left a bunch of stuff in there, and he's like, they left, like, a, you know, like, a nice wooden workbench and, like, some tools and all that kind of stuff. So he's like, well, I'm gonna keep some of that stuff because it's nice and I might need it or whatever, but some of the shit I'm gonna get rid of. Now, he says he works in the basement, like, really, really late, like, past midnight or whatever, and he said that he really felt like someone was watching him. I think the terminology that he used was, there was a sensation that someone was, like, hanging over you. That's what he said.
That's common.
Yeah, so that was like the first thing. And I kind of feel like that's the first thing on a lot of these shows. It's like people feel like they're being watched, or they feel like there's somebody in there like behind them or some shit like that. So he said that was the first thing that he felt like a heavy sensation, like somebody hanging over him, like in the basement in particular. So a couple months later, the rest of the family moves in once most of the, well, not most of the renovation, but some of the renovation's done. Now, Sarah, who at the time that this happened, did they say what year this was? I didn't write it down. I mean, the book, he wrote the book in 2011, so I'm assuming that it was like maybe a little bit before that.
I don't think it
But I don't think they mentioned the year, because usually that's one of the first things I write down, but I guess they didn't. So the daughter, Sarah, now she was 7 years old. Now she was on the show too, but she was in shadow, even though her mom and dad were interviewed and you could see their faces. But she, I guess, didn't want to be, because maybe she was still a teenager at this point. I don't really know. So she's 7 years old. And she's like all excited. She said, oh my God, it was this massive house. It looked like a castle, blah, blah, blah. Now, at this point, like all the major shit is done. It's mostly just kind of like minor stuff that has to be done. So 2 nights after the family moves in, Chris is up late and he's, oh my God, what the fuck does that say?
Got your glasses?
Yeah, I do, but I can't. Okay, I remember. I was like, I can't read my own handwriting. Well, because I was, like, writing so fast, like, because of, you know, and I was just like, oh my God, what the fuck? I still don't know what that says. But I remember this scene, so now I remember. So he's in there, and he has, like, you know, you put, like, the big sheets of plastic, like, across the opening or whatever, and he has, like, the tape, you know, so you can't, so you don't get, like, shit in the other room or whatever. So he has that. And it starts to kind of like blow out like by itself, like whoosh, like that, even though there's no windows open or anything. And he said that he heard like a breath or a gasp, but he's like, it didn't sound like enough of a breath that would like make the plastic like bell out like that. And apparently like it pulled the tape off as well, even though there was like no breeze. So he thought that was pretty weird too. And like I said he heard somebody breathing or gasping. There was that. The next morning at breakfast, this is like pretty creepy. So Patrick, one of the kids, he looked like the youngest one. Like he was this little tiny boy. He didn't come down. Like all the other kids were down and like the mom is just kind of like, where's that other fucking kid? Like, you know, go up there. And she's calling him. Now he's up there in his room and he looks over and there's a dude like in a suit, like standing by his bedroom window. And he seems surprisingly chill about the whole situation.
So you saw a man up there with his hair slicked back.
Yeah, I mean, so basically he comes down, like, yeah. And she's like, hey, get up there and get some breakfast or whatever. And he's like, well, you need to set another place. And she's like, the fuck are you talking for, your teddy bear or whatever? And she's like, no, for the man in my room. Can you imagine if your kid came and said that? It's like, yeah, okay, let's make some pancakes for the man in my room. And be like, oh,
she thought
shit,
he was making it up. And he says, yeah, his hair, it goes back like that. That was like a pretty clue.
Yeah, and so, yeah, so basically, like, yeah, there's a man in the room. She's like, huh, okay, whatever. He's not getting any pancakes. I don't know, she didn't say that, but that's what I'm saying. So, yeah, see, there's a dude in a suit with his hair all slicked back. So there's that. Yeah, and the mom said it was really weird because he didn't seem scared, like, when he said that, when the kid said that. He just seemed, like, real matter-of-fact, like, hey, there's a man in my room. Why don't you fix him some waffles or whatever? So then they jump ahead 3 months. A lot of the stuff, like the living room seemed like it was done and, which was kind of like a major project, I guess. So Chris like shows it to the rest of the family and he's like, ta-da, you know what I mean? And then he's like, I need to go take a fucking nap. You know what I mean? Cause I've been working on this shit like forever and I'm tired. Now here's again where we get like the kind of like dream reality thing, like blurring a little bit, which like I said, I guess it's kind of cool the way they did it. So he lays down to take a nap, and while he's laying there, he sees, and it's actually kind of cool the way they shot it, but it was just kind of like they had all these little framed pictures on the dresser, and they kept, like, moving around by themselves, like, that, like, scooting around. They were scooting.
Yeah, he's looking at them.
And he's like, what the fuck? Because, like, that's what you would do if they just started, like, scooting around, and he's just like, that's pretty fucking weird. And then they're like, oh, just a dream. But he says when he woke up, he's like, he's pretty sure that when he went to take a nap, it was like, it seemed like it was the middle of the afternoon or, you know, it was still daylight out anyway. And he said when he woke up, like thinking that was real, he said it was like the middle of the night. So
yeah,
I guess he kind of like just slept all through the day and his wife got in bed with him and he didn't like wake up or nothing like that. So he's just like, Yeah, I guess so. Which, like I said, I've had that happen before, too, and that's, like, really, disorienting. That's very, very disorienting. Yeah. Like, if you, yeah, you fall asleep in the afternoon, like, at 2 o'clock, and then you wake up, and you're like, what the fuck? It's dark outside. Yeah. What day is it?
Yeah.
Who am I? But, yes, it's that kind of thing. So he's like, yeah, I just had a really weird dream, but he doesn't tell her what it is. Now, the first dream was basically just the little pictures going like that, and didn't, like, one of them break or something. I don't know, something like that.
They it was just
of,
a dream.
Yeah, they were, like, scooting around. But like I'm saying, well, he saw that again, like, in a later dream, so they were kind of, like, recurring, is what I said. Now, the same night, like I said, it's not all dreams, because some of the other people in the house, like, other family members, did experience some shit as well. So apparently, later that same night, like, he goes back to sleep, his wife goes back to sleep. Then his wife, Kay, wakes up, and she said that she felt a hand on her ankle and, like, moving up her leg, like it was rubbing her leg. And he's all like, was it a mouse? And she's like, it wasn't like a mouse. She's like, it didn't feel like crawling. She said it felt like a person, like, with a hand on a leg, like, rubbing her leg. And it wasn't him, so she was just like, what the fuck was that all about? So they're like, okay, well, who knows? And then so they just go back to sleep. Now, a couple nights after that, Chris is having trouble sleeping again. Like I said, it seemed like he's been plagued with, you know, nightmares, like, since he's been moving in here. And he's laying there, and his kind of one eye is open or whatever, and he starts seeing, he said, I start feeling something like tapping or pushing on the pillow, like, next to his head. Like, he's laying on here, and then he's like, he felt like a finger, like, pushing, like, down on the pillow. And then they kind of show on the show, they kind of showed it, like, pushing down, like there was a head laying down or something like that. But he said it felt like a finger, like, tapping or pushing on the pillow. And he's just kind of like, what the fuck? And he's, like, looking at that. But he doesn't tell Kay, though. But then Kay is sleeping over here, and then the same thing happens on her side of the bed. Like, and I guess they didn't tell each other, like, what was going on. So it, like, independently, like, happened to both of them. Like, somebody, like, pushing on their pillows, which is a little bit creepy. So little shit like this seems to be happening for the next couple weeks, and they're just like, okay, whatever. So they're just gonna, like, try and ignore it, right? And then he has another thing, or another episode, another dream, with the pictures moving. Like, he's, well, the first part of the dream is, like, the little pictures moving, woo, like that, and then, like, the glass breaks. And then, like, he's standing in the bedroom with his overalls on, like, the overalls he's been, you know, working in, or whatever. And an unseen force, like, picks him up off the floor by the straps of the overalls. And, like, pulls him, like, toward the window and essentially, like, throws him out the window.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if they showed this on the show, but on the interview that I read with him, he said that in the dream, the window was closed. Like, it threw him through the glass. You know what I mean? I don't know if the window was open. I don't remember if the window was open.
The glass. Did the glass break, or did he go through it like he was?
Well, that's what it was, a dream. So yeah. I'm guessing he didn't say the glass broke. He just said the window was closed.
He went through it like he was a ghost.
Yeah, but then, like, he woke up, like, before he hit the ground.
So it's just
I guess.
Dream.
Yeah. So it, like, but it picked him up, like, which I thought was kind of funny. But he said that he's like, even though he woke up and he was like, "What the fuck?" and like, but he said that even though he realized it was a dream, he said it felt really real, like this was an actual entity that was in the house that was kind of, like, fucking with him through his dreams. Like, that was something that kind of, like, really happened, sort of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he said that was kind of the impression that he got. So, for the next month, like, over the next month, he keeps having basically, like, dreams of his own death. They don't really show a lot of them, and because I got the impression, like, the way he was talking about it, that he just kept having dreams where he kept dying in different spectacular ways. Maybe that's not true. Maybe he kept having the same one. But I kind of got the impression of that. And they only showed, like, one or two. Like I said, somebody throwing him out the window. There was one later where he's, like, suffocated or whatever. But yeah, so he just kept saying he's just having dreams of his own death all the time. And it's, like, keeping him awake, as it would. So he's not really getting much sleep. But he said they seem like they're really, really real, and that there's something in this house that's essentially, like, attacking him, but, like, through his dreams. And he said that whoever it is really does not want me here.
That's why I was talking about the dreams of the puppies and shit.
Yeah.
That was it. I didn't want to go to really tear the house up looking for the puppies. I didn't have a feeling that there were any puppies. I just saw the things as a. I just saw the dreams as an attack, you know.
Yeah.
Something that it was showing me, you know, to disturb you.
To disturb you.
Yeah, but there may have been something behind it, but it wasn't puppies, you know.
So you didn't think the puppies were trying to contact you and save us?
No.
You thought that it was like probably an evil entity that was going, look, come save these puppies. But really let me out of my whatever.
The only thing that I was worried about what it might represent is children, but I wanted to kind of put that out of my head.
Yeah.
I didn't want to think that along those lines, you know what I mean? Because that's going a little too far.
Well, that's kind of like
I was kind of thinking that maybe that's what it meant, but maybe I was meant to think that, though.
I kind of thought that, too.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that I jumped to.
Yeah, but I may have been meant to think that, you know what I mean? So I just tried to discount it as just an attack.
Danny asked, Tom, when you were experiencing Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist, did the poltergeist affect your dreams or your relatives' dreams?
No.
Yeah, I don't remember you saying anything about that.
Nope. No, but at the other house, yes. At the bad house, it was, but not a Mammoth.
Which you said that was kind of like a different...
It was a different experience.
Experience, yeah.
I never really could prove the bad house. It didn't move anything. But everyone could agree that it was a bad house. It just didn't move anything. We didn't see any apparitions. Just emotional attacks, visions, dreams and visions. And
so kind of like this show.
Like that, kind of. But he did see some stuff. They saw some apparitions.
Yeah, well, the kids did, and the mom. Yeah, they did have some things happen, like I said. Like the pillow thing, and like the wife having the feeling like a hand was on her leg.
This is similar to the bad house, just that the bad house was a lot weaker than this, if his story's true.
Yeah.
But it sounds true.
This seems kind of... kind of egregious, sure. Yeah. A lot of stuff going on.
For that kind of haunting. I think that's a classic haunting.
Yeah, he seemed to perceive it as that. They didn't really get... And this family are, like, seem very, very religious. This was a Catholic family. But I will give them credit that they didn't jump to demon.
Right.
They just thought that it was a ghost who was an asshole who didn't want them in the house, like a dark entity. They didn't say demon. They didn't say it was demonic.
Or a part of him.
They didn't really. They did call a priest to bless the shit, but it's like it wasn't really. Or no, the priest didn't even come there. He goes to the priest. Yeah, I'll talk about that.
It could be that. Could be that, or a part of a person, kind of like Mr. Halloran says in The Shinings, that, you know, sometimes places happened and somebody's left behind like burnt toast. It's not there. It's just pictures in a book.
Just pictures in
just
a book.
Just pictures in a book. It's not real. Yeah. You're just sensing
just
what
like
happened.
Just like Mr. Halloran.
Yeah, said. Yeah. Right.
How creepy would it be if I woke up in the middle of the night and started doing that to you? Actually, I don't want to give you any ideas because you might do it and that'll probably make
But
my
some places have something kind of like Shining. Some places do kind of... You know, in Star Wars, they'd call it a place that was strong with the dark side, and it kind of has a will of its own. But I don't think that's what this is.
Nightmares and Rainbows says, happy birthday. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So, yeah, so he's perceiving that whatever this is, it's something that doesn't want him here and is sending him these dreams. It's like, hey, I'm killing you in all these creative ways. You know what I mean? Now, then there's a scene. So, like I said, there's a kid, one of the kids. I can't remember what the kid's name is. Andrew? Maybe. He was the older one. And he's in his room, like, practicing his guitar, and he said he started hearing somebody clapping, like, in rhythm, like, to the music he was playing. And it was freaking him out a little bit, because it was really nobody, like, everybody else was downstairs, and he said he just kind of heard clapping. So he goes down and says to his parents, like, hey, there's some, like, spirit in my room fucking clapping, like, in rhythm. And they tried to, like, talk him out of it, even though they were very, very well aware that, like, some paranormal shit was going on. But they didn't really want to tell the kids because they thought it would scare them. But the kids were apparently, like, seeing stuff, too. So the kid comes down and he's like, look, I know clapping when I hear it. It sounded just like this. And it's like, and obviously nobody was there. And they're just like, oh, maybe it's just the house creaking or whatever. Just, you know, knock it off. So basically... So Chris at this point decides, okay, well, I'm going to call a priest. Because like I said, he was a very Catholic family. And he's kind of like reluctant to say anything because, yeah, you're going to go to the priest and say, hey, I think my house is haunted. Like, you know what I mean? And he's just like a little embarrassed about it, I guess. So the priest is... This priest, like, sucked. Even more than the one that, like, came to that one house and was just kind of like, bless, bless, bless. And then it's just like, bye. It's like, I don't like it in here. Like, the door opened by itself. And he just runs out. And they're like, is that it? This priest didn't even get off his fat ass. And, like, well, wait, it was a skinny ass. Didn't even get off his skinny ass and go to the house. He goes to the dude's office. And the guy's like, well, I don't really believe in those kinds of things. Why don't you just go home and pray? I'm sure it's nothing. And he's just like, well, gee, thanks for a big fat nothing. You know what I mean? It's like... Don't let me, like, get all up in your molesting time or whatever the fuck it is you're doing here. So, yeah. Let me get my thing so I can turn the page. All right. So, so Chris and the family are basically like, okay, well, fuck that guy. He didn't say that. But I'm just saying, fuck that guy. We're on our own. So he starts doing, you know, the thing where he gets all the books and all the stuff, and he's doing research, you know what I mean? Researching ghosts and demons at the library. And then he goes and researches, like, the city hall records. Now, apparently this house that they bought, like I said, it was a historic house. I don't think they mentioned it was in Heritage Hill. I don't know how old those houses are generally in Grand Rapids, Michigan. But he said that previously, this house had only had three previous owners, however old it was. So I'm guessing it, like, stayed in the same families for a long time. And they find, in all the old records and stuff, they find a picture that of one of the previous, like, I guess it was the owner before them or one before that. I'm not really sure. Like, they didn't really say, like, how long ago it was. But they find a picture of the guy, and the guy looks like the description that the kids have been given, like the kid gave, like the apparition guy that he saw in his room. So they find out that the people that lived there before them was a married couple, and they had lived there for 50 years. Now the husband had died 20 years previously, and then the widow went to a nursing home, like, and then hence they sold the house. Now I don't know, like, at the time that this show was filmed, it almost seemed like they were saying, like, the widow was still alive, but they didn't, like, go contact her, so I don't really know. But she didn't die in the house. The husband died in the house. Would you stop it, Pokey?
Don't tear it up.
Oh.
She knew she was in trouble.
She jumped.
No, you're in trouble. Yeah.
She just jumped like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, my foot hit the leg of her chair, and she fucking jumped.
Aww.
She knows.
Daddy,
she knows.
Didn't mean it.
Yeah, she knows.
Don't tear up the books, though.
The cat's whole fucking reason for life is, Daddy, look at me. Daddy, look at me. Daddy, look. Daddy, look. Daddy, look.
Yeah.
Daddy,
yeah,
look.
Yeah. She's always doing that.
She's trying to get my attention constantly. Daddy, look.
And if it's not you, if you're sleeping or something like that, she comes in here. It's, Mommy, look. Mommy,
yeah,
look.
Yeah, yeah.
Mommy, come here. Mommy, yeah. Hey.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like having a kid.
It's just like having a kid. Come here, pup.
A tiny little furry child.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess the husband had died in the house. But like I said, the wife died in the nursing home, or it was still alive in the nursing home. I don't know. They didn't really specify. So at this point, they're like, okay, well, since the priest isn't going to help us, like, we know paranormal shit's going on. The kids are obviously seeing some paranormal shit too, and they're getting a little, like, aggro that we're, you know, denying the whole shit. So it's like, well, let's tell the kids, we'll lay everything out on the table because we'll be able to fight this better, whatever it is, like, if we're all together as a family. So, you know. So they finally tell the kids, and the kids are like, well, duh, yeah, we've been seeing, like, all this fucking crazy shit. You know, we've been seeing stuff for, like, months and months, and we thought you guys were, like, fucking with us and not telling us. I'm making a lot of this up. So a little while later, so Chris is at a party at the neighbor's house, and the neighbors that were having the party had a psychic there who was giving free readings for, you know, like a party trick or whatever. So he goes up to her, and his friend kind of, like, talks him into getting a free reading, and he's just like, well, you know, he says, go easy, I don't really believe in this kind of stuff. And then she looks at him, and she's like, she says something like, are you trying to restore the past or bring back the past or something like that? And she seemed to know that he was restoring a house. And for a second, I thought, well, if this is in the same neighborhood as his house, I'm assuming that everybody that buys a house there is, like, probably restoring it. So right. I don't think that's so crazy that she would say that. And she's like, do you have something from the house that I can, like, hang on to? So he has a key, and he gives it to her, because I guess she has that thing. What's that called? What's that psychic thing called where you hold something? Yeah, what the fuck? I know there's a word for it. I'll probably think of it in, like, five minutes from now. But, yeah, so he gives her the key to hold on to, and she says, yeah, somebody who used to own it is still there. And his whole thing was, well, maybe because he died in the house, and his wife is either still at the nursing home or died at the nursing home. His theory was that the husband was, like, still in the house because he was, like, waiting for her to die, or wondering why she wasn't still in the house. That was his theory about why the dude was still there. So he asks the psychic about that. Like, is that why? Like, are you waiting for your wife or something like that? And apparently the psychic got possessed and got, like, scary possessy voice. And she says, no, I hate that woman. And I was like, oh, nice. All right. The ghost is a jerk, so that's cool. So yeah, he's not waiting for her. Basically, his whole thing is he just likes the house and doesn't want to fucking leave.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. I mean, that seems like, that seemed like his whole thing. It's like, it's my house and I'm not leaving. So fuck off. So yeah, after that, the dreams like get worse and worse. It says it got more violent, more frequent. It said Sarah, the daughter, also had trouble sleeping. She said that a lot of times they would hear shit like footsteps coming up the stairs, like their doorknobs would rattle, all that kind of stuff. Sarah also said she saw the same dude, like the apparition. Like she, and I got the impression that she had seen him more than once, because like she's laying there in bed and like kind of peeks over and like he's just fucking standing there like in the doorway of her room, like staring at her, being all creepy. And she's just kind of like, yeah, well, there he is again. That's kind of like, that's a little disturbing. But yeah, so there's that. So yeah, and like I said, the ghost is the same. Like the description is the of the ghost that apparently like Chris has been seeing in his dream. So so then we have another thing where Chris is in the basement again, and the light bulb starts unscrewing itself.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. He saw it moving.
Yeah, he said he saw it moving, and then but like I said, I don't know if this really happened or if this is a dream too. So the light bulb starts unscrewing itself. And then he goes over to, like, there's a big cabinet down there, which I'm assuming the other owners left.
Yeah.
And he's like, I knew something was, like, going on with that cabinet. It was like a big wardrobe or something. It kind of looked like a big wardrobe. And so he goes over there and opens it, and then, like, a big, like, black shadow comes out of it and, like, starts suffocating him. And he said that was, like, the worst dream that he had, because that was
okay, a dream. Okay, so the whole thing was a dream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So I think the whole thing, with the light bulb, I think that was a dream, too. Yeah. But like I said, that's what I meant. They were kind of, like, blurring the line. I don't know if he was actually in the basement and saw that happen.
No.
Or...
Later on, he's saying that he kept having psychic dreams.
Oh.
Paranormal dreams is what he called them.
Yeah.
Which they're messages. Had the same thing.
From beyond.
Had the same thing happen.
Yeah.
It's just putting ideas in his head. Trying to tell him something.
So he said that was like the worst one, because it almost seemed like it looked like, I couldn't really tell what it was. It was just kind of like this black cloudy thing. And it came out of this wardrobe.
I think they're just trying to express it was just
it mass, was just like a suffocating,
oppressive mass of fucking bad energy, which that was in that house, in that bad house too. There's no way to describe it. It's like something just bearing down on you.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't see anything. There's nothing there. You feel like a fool. And you try to run out of it, and you feel like you did run out of it. And then you'd have a feeling that it was behind you, and you'd be looking at it. And it wouldn't just be you. You know what I mean? My buddy Eric would, same thing. Girlfriends that would come over, you had to walk them to the bathroom and guard them while they were in there. You know, it was a real phenomenon, but nothing you could measure or photograph. You couldn't prove it. People would say, oh, it's your imagination. Powerful-ass imagination that fucking affect everybody that went into the house. It was just a bad feelings in the house.
Zach said maybe we should write a book about that house.
Wouldn't be much to the book. That'd be the thing. And I can't prove any of it.
That's true.
I know where the house is. I could find it again.
Well, how long were you living there?
About a year. Okay. About a year and a half.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't remember like it being that long. All right, so where was I? Okay, so yeah. So the thing comes out of the wardrobe and like seems like it's suffocating him. And he said that was like the worst one. It seems like he woke up sitting on the couch. It was like, holy shit, that was like the worst fucking dream ever. So a week later, they have a couple of friends over, like, for drinks. And Kay, who is over this shit. And, like, Chris says that Kay actually normally, like, 99% of the time kept her shit together. So the fact that when they had friends over for drinks and she had a couple cocktails and she just started, like, having a nervous breakdown, like, basically, like, I can't take this shit anymore. He's like, so that was, like, really, really unusual because normally she would, like I said, keep her shit together, but she couldn't do it anymore. So she basically is like, the shit's haunted. I don't know what to do about it. And she said that she had been in the basement earlier that day. And I guess this is what kind of like spurred her to actually like kind of just, you know, have a breakdown about it. Was that she was in the basement and she saw, I wasn't clear over whether she actually saw this literally or whether it was kind of like an impression that she got. You know what I mean? Because it's almost kind of like she said vision, but then she said she felt it. So I don't know if she actually like saw it with her eyeballs or if it was just something that was like kind of projected into her mind or something. I don't know. But what they showed on there, she said that she saw a little girl and that there was some kind of like violence perpetrated on the little girl. And so she's extrapolating that maybe this asshole that used to live here, that's still haunting them.
He's old pedo.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe like beat up a little girl or something like that.
I think they were trying to say he was a pedo.
That's, yeah, I kind of feel like that's maybe what they were. But they don't like, go anywhere with that. Like, that's pretty much the only mention of it. Like, the only time anybody saw like a child getting beat up, it's like she saw it. So she's basically like, okay, well, the guy that used to live here was like I said, like an abusive pedo. So there's that. So their friends are basically like, okay, well, if you've already gone to the priest and he hasn't done fuck all, then maybe it's like we have a friend who's like a spiritual healer. It's like she doesn't usually do this kind of shit. Like she's not like a paranormal investigator or anything. And she doesn't usually do the whole like saging the shit or whatever. But it's like I'll give her a call and she'll come over and maybe she'll be able to do something about it. Like we'll see. So the spiritual healer lady comes over. I think she was actually on the show. Like, her and her husband, like, work together. I don't remember the husband being on the show, but she definitely was. And she's like, she walks in and she's like, oh, you've renovated the place. And he's like, well, yeah. And she's like, yeah, well, you know, ghosts don't like that. Like, you know, that stirs shit up. And she's like, she was like attracted right to the basement. She's like, yeah, some fucked up shit happened down here, although they didn't specify like what it was or if she said exactly what it was. And she pretty much, at least according to their accounts, that when she went down to the basement and saw that wardrobe thingy, she was pretty much, that's where the energy is coming from. Like this cupboard or wardrobe that Chris had the dream about, like that the suffocating shit was coming out of. So apparently she went down, and so I was, and I'm sitting there going, man, like, even if you were some, like, asshole ghost or something like that, you got, like, the whole house to run around in. Why would you, like, sleep in a closet? I don't know. Or in a cupboard. But she said that's where the energy was coming, all the negative centered. Energy. Yeah.
He was centered.
And so they go and open it, and then I kind of, I hate to laugh, but it, well, no, I don't, but, That's not true. And it's like, oh, yeah, oh. Yeah, and it's like their feet are sliding and stuff like that. I was just like, oh my God, all the nothing. It's just kind of like, yeah. So it was,
They showed a CG black cloud.
The way they shot it was funny.
Yeah, it's just funny.
You know what I mean? And I just kind of laughed. And I was like, they're getting pushed back.
I know what they're talking about.
I know. But it's just like, it was funny the way they shot it.
They're talking about that weird oppressive feeling that fucking, that there's something there.
That was in the closet. Sure. Yeah. Black Frog has just arrived saying, hello, how are you doing? So yeah, well, I think it wasn't so much funny that, like, them just being like, oh no, like, this force is coming out of the thing. Because when they did this part, I don't even think they showed, like, the black cloud coming out of there. I don't remember if they did, because I know they did when he was having the nightmare about it.
Yeah.
But I think the reason why I laughed is because they didn't, maybe they forgot to CGI that in for this. So now you just have like these two people just going, ah, yeah. Like, and there's like nothing there. And then maybe I'm not remembering.
I think it was there.
Maybe. Well, like I said, I was kind of trying to look at, I was looking up and down because I was taking
They were trying
like,
to play
notes.
Camera tricks because they didn't want you to see their feet doing this as they were backing up.
Yeah.
It looked kind of fun. So they were trying to get at the angle right to like they were being repelled by an evil force when they opened.
And then they were pushing back, which was even funnier to me.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, that was even
They're
funnier.
Using their mime skills from drama class. Yeah.
I'm in a glass box.
Yeah.
That's a no. I'm just,
hey, it's show business.
No shade on the actors. Yeah. I'm no shade on the actors. Yeah. Y'all do what you gotta do. Everybody gotta eat. You know what I mean?
It's still a good episode.
It is. It's like funny. Yeah. See, I make jokes because I love. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm not. I mean, I kind of feel like you get kind of like upset when I make jokes about it. It's like, I'm making jokes because I like them. I just like, you know what I mean? That was just like really, really funny to me. I don't really know what happened in real life. I wasn't there.
They opened it up and they got a bad feeling in there. Like, ooh.
That's what I'm saying. I kind of feel
that's what happened.
That's what I mean. Well, because I'm always kind of like, my mind is always like, in real life, what did that look like? Probably like nothing.
Like nothing.
They just opened a thing and were like, oh, I don't like the, you know. That's it smells like mothballs in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I kind of feel like that. So I don't think they were going like, oh no, back in there, you motherfucker.
That wouldn't have looked real dramatic. That's what
I'm
saying.
So they always have to like over dramatize everything. So I'm like, I'm sure in real life. Well, it's just kind of like, you know how on every single episode where they do like a big climactic, you know, exorcism or whatever, or healing or whatever at the end. And it's always, they always kind of show like, they do like all those really quick cuts and like flashing lights. Yeah. And it's like, all those crazy camera angles. But it's like, if you were really there in real life, it would just be everybody standing around waving sage around like that. And like nothing happening.
In the episode, the little ghost hunters, what were they? They weren't ghost hunters. What would be a good way to...
They said she was a spiritual healer.
A spiritual healer.
I said, she said that she didn't usually do that kind of stuff. That she didn't usually go around like cleansing people's houses.
In my opinion, if you're having problems like this in your house, that you don't even mess with those people. They'll make it worse because they'll come up with their own explanations that might be wrong, and they're just going to add to your fucking stress. You know, you're better to get hold of fucking a parapsychologist, somebody who knows what they're doing. All right, who knows? Anyway, that's lecturing. But anyway, probably one of the things that they said was funny is they said, "Well, he's in this cabinet. He's living in this cabinet." That's not what's happening. All right,
ghost in a closet.
Yeah, that's not what's happening. Fucking, it's gonna be kind of like I said, I like to use well-known writers like, you know, fucking Stephen King, because he actually did do homework and studied the works of parapsychologists and people up at UCLA and everything. So he was very astute in his day, and I liked what his character Mr. Halloran would say. It's like pictures in a book. It's like burnt toast. Something's left behind, and in this case, it's centered around that cabinet. So somebody associated with that had an association with that cabinet that's bad, and that's kind of where it kind of partially emanates from, you know, because whatever this person was, whatever they were doing when they were alive, there was a connection with that cabinet. As long as that cabinet's there, you're going to have a piece of that person, kind of like the smell of burnt toast.
Maybe that guy locks the little girl in the closet.
Could have been anything. Could have been he might have had a bunch of collector's item stuff that he stored in there before he got rid of it, or before his wife threw it out or something. Might have been a bunch of porn in there. You don't know. But for some reason, it was something that part of him wanted to guard, or part of him.
Yeah, get out of my porn stash.
Get out of my porn stash.
Even after I'm dead, I'm guarding my porn stash.
Well, I don't think he's guarding it.
No, I'm just.
It's just a kind of like a remnant of a certain aspect of the dude's energy, a piece of the dude's soul left behind, like burnt toast, something like that. His connection to that area, and other people can pick it up. And part of it has a life of its own, showing you pictures in a book, trying to communicate with you. But I don't think it's a full person. Here's why. If you've had an out-of-body experience or a near-death experience, and if you did that in that house to try to see what that was, and that'd be the way to do it, you're probably not going to find a full soul. You're going to find a fucking collection of memories of somebody who's long gone. It's going to be that. Something like that. It might be a life form, but not a full one. Because, you know, they're not organic. They're energy. If you chop a person's hand off, the hand dies. If a person throws a certain part of their soul out, that thing might live on. You know, maybe they throw a part of their bad part of themselves out to kind of purge it, and then they move on, leaving that bad part behind. Well, it's life energy, kind of like the thing. That thing's in another dimension, fucking with limited understanding and limited skills, made up of fucking something bad, and it's just continuing to exist in a slightly different dimension. And it's not a full being. That matches up with certain things that I saw during that out-of-body experience. It's going to be something like that. Because if you ever exteriorize, you kind of have an understanding of kind of like cosmic consciousness. And you start to have access to things that you didn't even see at the time. But then you kind of aware of their existence. And then when you come back, some of it's forgotten. You don't quite remember it the same way. Reality isn't the same once you're out. But that's whatever that is. It's something like that.
I forgot this actually kind of, this actually gets funnier. Because not only are they just pushing it like back in the closet, they're actually pushing it outside. They pushed it like out the window. It's just like, don't spoil it. It like gets funnier.
Yeah.
So so the spiritual advisor is basically like, okay, we pushed it outside, so now it's outside. I'm like, thanks, bitch. Now it's gonna go haunt the neighbor's house or whatever. But anyway, she's like, I would advise that anything that still that belongs to that dude, because remember I said at the beginning that he kept his workbench and his tools and stuff. She's like, yeah, throw all that shit out because it's maybe it's like kind of keeping him here. So he's like, okay, can do. So he just like fucking, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna get rid of all this shit because I think the workbench, like the dude had built it or whatever. So then they go out and they do like a perimeter around the house with water and salt and herbs.
Yeah.
Because there's a fucking H in it. Eddie Izzard. And stuff. Now, Kay is the one that has to do it because according to the spiritual healer lady, women create and hold space.
Yeah.
All right.
Just how they do it. Now, I don't know. I don't believe none of that. I think everybody's about the same, but.
See how I'm doing that?
Yeah, creating a whole
space. You can't do that. Only I can do that.
Yeah, only a woman can do that. Daddy's asking, he says, you remember the pictures in Scatman Crothers' room? One of those exists somewhere. Those pictures were common back in the early 80s.
Yeah, I remember seeing like other people with
those. They were real popular with black dudes, and it was just a series of paintings. I don't know if they were on black velvet or not. I don't. Maybe they weren't.
I feel like they probably should be. Even if they weren't.
But they were pretty decent. I would call them sensual African American nudes. They all had the fucking damn badass bodies and big fucking afros. It was like something out of the '70s. They were real popular. They had guys buying them. They're around somewhere. You can find those. Although that one that was in Scatman's room, if you got a copy of that one. I imagine the original, you can't get it, but the copy probably cost you a lot of money because it would be famous from that movie.
Yeah.
But that was just one of them. Some of them had a man and a woman, like in embraces.
That's the one that I remember, because I remember saying, whose house was I at that I saw that?
I don't know.
I mean, I was a kid. I don't know.
It was all African-American art.
Oh, must have been my dad's friend.
Yeah.
I think I was at my dad's friend's house, and he had that. Yeah, so women are creating and holding space like we're doing. See how I'm doing right here? Like live on TV, on YouTube. So they made like a spirit wall. And here's the funny thing. So the guy, like, he throws all the stuff, like Chris throws all the dude's shit out. And he was like real excited about it too. He's like, man, he's not even just gonna like throw away the workbench. He's gonna like chop it all up, and he's just like putting the stuff in the garbage can like a man. And then like we're watching it, we're like, yeah, go haunt the dump, you pedo. I was like, there's he said in the ghost of the dump, that's where he's gonna go with all his fucking stuff. So the kids come back because I guess they sent them away while they were doing the shit. And then they do the whole positive love light, kumbaya, whatever. And apparently it worked. They pushed the ghost outside. Now they didn't, I will note that they apparently didn't get rid of the ghost. They just pushed him outside the house and they won't let him back in, I guess. Because they made the like this whole like spirit wall like around there so he can't get back in. So it all worked, yay. They said you could tell right away. Now, here's the funny bit. 4 weeks later, says Chris, he's out in the neighborhood jogging. And he's jogging and he looks over in the shrubbery, like in the woods or something like that, and he sees the fucking ghost over there.
Yeah.
In the neighborhood. He said it was, I don't know how far it was away.
She's out in the bushes.
He said it was a few blocks away.
Yeah, in the
and
bush.
The dude was like looking at him. And I'm like, you locked him out of his house.
You run it, it'd be something. I've never heard that before. You're running down the street, you look out in the woods, and the ghost is out there looking at you. Going, looking at bitch, you got my house.
I was like, oh my God.
Did he leave me be toothpaste?
I'm just living out here in the woods. You feel bad? Yeah, yeah. Do you feel bad? That was my house, motherfucker. But yeah, So he didn't go haunt the dump. He just went and haunted, like, a couple blocks. I don't know why it's a few blocks away. But I just thought that was, like, that really, like, made me laugh, too. Then, like, the ghost would go, like, haunt the neighborhood. He's, like, outside. He's all, like, sure wish I could go haunt somebody else's house, but nobody else wants me to come in. He could just go haunt somebody else's house, I would think. They could just do whatever they want. So what they have to keep doing, he says, I guess to keep the ghost out and to keep his sad little ass, like, over there, like, a few blocks away so he can't get back in. So they have to keep doing this little, like, spirit wall, hey, keep out ghost ritual. And apparently they have to do it every night. And he's like, so the whole family. Okay. Oh my God, thank you, Deborah.
Damn, looks like a big old woman.
Holy shit.
What is that?
$50.
$50. Thank you very much, Deborah.
Thank you. Oh, that reminds me. Yeah. Our UK patron, Dermot, also sent me $50.
Oh, great. Thank you.
For my birthday.
Thank you very much.
I meant to say that at the beginning of the show, and I completely forgot about it, so thank you about that. Yeah, thank you very much. That's so awesome.
Happy birthday, Jim.
Thank you. I know. I'm having a good one. Mm-hmm. Having a good one. But so they're doing all this, and eventually the family gets sick of doing it, as you would. Chris is kind of like sick of it. He's like, no, we have to keep doing it. He's like, well, I'll just do it by myself. And they're just like, Jesus Christ, like every single night we have to do this? It's like, no, thank you. Which I get it. So Chris does it by himself. So he's doing the thing at the cabinet, and because you think everything's over now. So he's doing the thing at the cabinet, and then he slips into a dream world, or is the whole thing a dream? I'm not really sure. But he's in the dream, and he starts fighting the ghost, and he legitimately punches the ghost. Because remember on the other show,
he said... He does it from a dream.
Right, but remember how on the other show, like, the guy was saying, it's like, you don't know what to do about a ghost, you can't punch it. But apparently, if you're in a dream, you can punch it. Like, it does. Because Chris, in this episode, does actually punch it.
It makes sense.
Although it's in a dream. He punches the ghost in a dream.
If you're in a dream, and it's in a dream with you, you could... Because it's psychological warfare. Nobody's hurt. It's just ideas. Well, it's kind of like that in the spirit world, too. You can't really destroy anything. It's just not really your place to destroy anything. You can just drive things off. It's just imagery, information. So that's what he did. He was in a dream, and it started fighting it in the dream, and it had an effect. Yeah. Wouldn't destroy it, though.
You can just punch it. You can punch it all you want.
Just make it mad or hurt it or scare it.
Kevin Donovan says homeless ghosts. Mm-hmm. My life in the bush of ghosts.
Yeah.
I don't know why that tickled me so much. I just thought that was so funny. So either in the dream or in the real world, I'm not entirely sure.
No, it was in the dream.
But then he had the whole thing where he brought the little stool and the Bible or whatever the fuck, and he sat in front of the cabinet.
That was later.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, it was only like a minute later. Like, yeah. In the real world,
he basically does kind of like a Buddhist or almost kind of like a Buddhist or Taoist exorcism. Instead, he says, I can't make it leave. I can't force it to leave. Which he learned that from that fight, because I just told you why. He learned that from that fight in that dream. You can't destroy it. So he went down and counseled it and talked it over to the fucking... Over the other side, which is plausible. It's plausible. He counseled it.
He said, his quote was, I loved him out.
Yeah.
Which sounds a little weird, but okay. But like I said, he is, punching it.
It wouldn't work.
It didn't really work. I'm sure it was
very satisfying.
You
can't force it to leave, so you kind of have to solve its problems so it leaves on its own. That's what he did. Which, no, that matches up. That would probably work. Yeah.
Danny Rowling said he just lucid dreamed and fought the ghost. Yeah. Maybe.
They were paranormal dreams.
Interestingly.
Like a psychic connection between him and whatever remnant that was.
Interestingly, I was reading, like I said, an interview with this guy, like shortly before or shortly after this episode came out. Because, like I said, he had written a book called Trespass about this case, like before the episode came out. And he said that. You know the scene where, in the show, where Kay goes down to the basement and says that she saw, like, the whole pedo episode?
Yeah.
Apparently, he said that something worse happened to his wife down there, but he didn't say what it was, and he said they didn't want to put it on the show.
Okay.
So, I don't really know...
Came after.
...what he's getting at, yeah. But apparently, whatever it was, they didn't really want to put it on the show.
Must have grabbed her. It could grab you, evidently.
Well, she said that she felt like a hand on her leg at some point.
Yeah, and then she said that it was pushing on the pillow.
And it was pushing on the pillow.
Pushing on the pillow.
So, you know, he was fucking with him all the time. What a jerk.
He's a little perv.
That ghost was a fucking perv.
He's a little perv,
Do you hear that ghost? You're a fucking perv. Yeah. Like, whatever you were doing. But, yeah.
There was... one of those cases, it's been a long time, I saw it on Geraldo. This was a fucking long time ago. I think it was Geraldo. And they had a paranormal investigator, and he was just going on about a bunch of other cases, and he had three or four women on there. I don't know if it was the Snedekers. I don't think it was the Snedekers. They were renting some house, sharing it. And weird kind of sexual things would happen. That one girl said that she woke up in the middle of the night and heard a man grunting and fucking looked at the foot of the bed and kneeling on the floor. She didn't quite say it the way I'm going to say it, but kneeling on the floor at the foot of the bed was some old dude fucking just beating it, just working it over, fucking staring at her.
Choking the chicken.
Yeah, and she screamed and he vanished. And like, dissipated.
Strangling the bishop. And, whatever you want to call it.
And there was stuff like that happening. And it was young women, teenage girls and young women, 20s and stuff, and a few of the older ones. But they were all cute, attractive. And they all had to guard each other when they were taking the showers because it would be grabbing them in the shower. So they couldn't take showers by themselves. And the paranormal investigator says, based on all the descriptions of who the dude is, he knew who he was. He didn't mention any names, but he says it was the not the caretaker, but what do you call it? Kind of like the landlord's caretaker. Yeah, the landlord's caretaker of the little
caretaker, yeah.
Yeah.
Manager, then, something.
Yeah, like the property manager that took care of that. It was a group of houses. And he said that was him. And they said the description fits perfectly. And that was the last I ever heard of that case. It was a long time ago.
Fucking creepo.
Yeah.
Bad enough they do that shit when they're alive, and then after they're dead, they still like linger.
He hadn't been dead that long, like 4 or 5 years.
Well, he needs to fuck off to wherever this
is going. Yeah, so he's in some damn, or at least part of him in some kind of damn perpetual peeping Tom fucking status.
It's like, ooh, part of me survived death. I'm going to just jerk off the whole time. Aim high.
Evidently, he kind of had a reputation for shit like that when he was alive, drilling holes in walls and stuff.
That sounds
or suspected of that kind of shit.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Brian Hackett's here. Happy birthday, Jenny. Thank
you. What's up,
Hackett? I'm on another feature started today, but hopefully you have a great day. Thank you very much.
Brian Hackett's
hi, Tom.
Brian Hackett's a buddy of mine. We went to military school together as kids. He's done a lot of movies. Did Terror in the Prairie. Did the fucking, what's that? What about Concrete? Shit, we saw a couple of other movies. I don't even remember them all. He'll remind me.
Black Frog said, we need Chris Hansen to go ghost busting, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in a really bad case, the perpetrator is going to be something like that. Some of these people will come across with ideas like demons and shit like that. That's very unlikely. There are people, we've talked about them on the show, that have done things that fucking you wouldn't think a human could do, like stick damn ice picks through girls' fucking ears and pull pieces of them off with damn pliers and stuff like that, you know, just for fun. And you would think to yourself, man, no human could do that. And you're right, they're not really humans. I would never treat a dude like that as a human. I would treat a dude like that as a mutant, all right? And law enforcement is around to keep me from doing something bad to a dude like that if I came across him. If I came across some dude like that, that'd be it. I'd really have to. I'm lucky I've never come across anything like that, because I'd be fucking put into a really terrible conundrum, because I just would not want to let that opportunity slip between my fingers to just fuck a dude like that up. You know, I'd have to be sure, but I would just fuck that dude up.
You know? I mean, if you're really sure, I would probably.
If I caught a dude in the act, that's it. You're fucking over. You know.
I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm just going to start cutting little pieces of you off, and I'm going to put them in a stew and eat them in front of you. I'm going to do all kind of fucked up.
When I see that kind of violence, when I see that kind of violence, it almost brings it out of me, you know? It makes you understand why Prince Vlad Tepes, you know, fucking Prince, you know, also Vlad Dracul, why he was impaling people and stuff. I imagine, you know, if you see enough of it, you just get very mean and very insensitive, and you just really start to hate your enemies, and you start doing stuff like that. And it's a bunch of tit for tat stuff that builds up. And me hearing about seeing some of these serial killer cases and fucking reading the details and shit, just like I've read some details of fucking some shit that was done to animals. I'd said, man, I couldn't let you just walk around after you're doing that to a damn dog. You know what I mean? I just couldn't let a motherfucker walk around like that. And I've killed a bunch of animals in hunting, but it's all food, it's professional. It's not to maximize the fucking suffering of animals, you know, psychological animals, you know. It's fucking terrible. Making mama dogs eat their own babies and shit like that. Fucking, yeah. I'd fucking kill that dude.
Like, dude, I can't even kill a moth. For Christ's sake. Yeah. I can't even imagine, like, what kind of monster you would have to be.
So, some of these paranormal cases, you know, that they say, well, it's demons. No, very unlikely. A demon, if you look at the actual definition, and many definitions are given if you're going to use the Bible as a basis to define it. It says about three different things, okay, and it calls them all demons. A demon is one of God's sons that was thrown out of heaven and enchained for creating the Nephilim by screwing them women. That's in fucking Genesis. And later on...
Knock it off, Nephilim.
Yeah, giants, and they're talking about demigods, you know, like Hercules and shit. Samson. Another thing that they would call a demon is the spirits of the evil dead. You know, Jesus throws a whole bunch of them out of a man and throws them into a herd of pigs and they jump off the... That's not the same. That's not angels. That's the evil dead. Can also be a demon. So there's at least two things that they're talking about. And they're not the same. And the difference between those stories, the time between the stories that were written was a long time. So whoever wrote these stories, they weren't sure what a demon was either. It was just something bad, something invisible. You couldn't see it.
Well, yeah, like, we've talked about this before. It's like fanfic. Everybody just kind of, like, added their own shit on there.
Yeah.
So none of it's real canon because it kind of a lot of it, like, contradicts each other.
In Islam, they have something called the jinn. The jinn's kind of like a demon, but not really. It says that some of the jinn spend their time herding flocks in the dimension that they live in and handling their business, and they can be... Islamic jinn.
Jinn business.
Yeah, jinn business. They could be Christian jinn and Jewish jinn and just be of any religion. And some of them you can deal with and some of them you can't. So really, the Islamic description of a jinn does not really... The Christian description doesn't fit the Christian definition of a demon. A jinn... more closely resembles what Westerners would call people in purgatory, waiting for final judgment. They're in purgatory in an afterlife, in kind of their own virtual reality bubble, doing their normal lives, waiting for judgment. Some of them, they're converting to religions, they're herding sheep, buying houses. So they're in a dreamlike world. Okay?
They're in the metaverse.
They're like a metaverse. That's what they're talking about. And then maybe you could get the attention of one of these jinn and get it to do things. That's kind of like talking to the dead, you know. Even though I think the Quran claims that they never lived, but how would they really know? You know, you might make the mistake of thinking that the thing had never lived. I think they might be mixing several stories together, because jinn definitely predate Islam. That goes back before Islam. That's Arabic culture, not so much religious culture. Other Arabic religions had those.
Danny said, Rosemary Ellen Guiley talked a lot about the jinn, very fascinating stuff. I never read that. I've read a lot of her books, actually, but I don't think I've read that one. She did, like, ones about vampires and werewolves and all that kind of stuff, too. She's all into, like, folklore and whatnot. But I've read a bunch of her books, but I haven't read the jinn one.
I worked with a guy from Iraq after I got out of the Army. I told him about the poltergeist, and he took that the Mammoth Mountain, told him the whole story how it went. And he goes, that was a jinn. And I said, yeah? He goes, yeah. And he explained to me what a jinn was, the first time I ever heard of a jinn. Islam had its own explanation, but his interpretation was that it was a jinn, which made me think, well, stories of the jinn would have been bolstered by poltergeist and ghosts. If you saw a ghost or a poltergeist, and you were in the Middle East, you're going to say it's a jinn. But I believe they have ghosts, too. I believe.
Well, I should say that when we were in the restaurant today.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Can Knack. Yay, we made it. Happy Jenny Day, y'all. Happy birthday, Jenny. World is happy that you made it another year. Aw, thank you very much. That's very nice of you. But yeah, so when we were in the restaurant today, the Magical Meat Boutique, Elaine told us that. Now, did she say it was the old restaurant? Okay. So apparently the location where they are now is not where they were. Like, they moved from another location, like an older building.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago.
So she said at the old location, she was in there. She had just opened the restaurant, I think she said.
Yeah.
And it was, like, really early in the morning. And she said one of the glasses.
The wine glass.
Like upside, a wine glass that was hanging like in the rack, down. Like yeah. on the above the bar. She said that it flew off like suddenly and like smashed into a like a wall or a post or something
ground.
Like that or just like
she said it flew out about 7 feet and then broke.
And then broke. All of a sudden.
Said no one threw it.
And she, because she was sitting there going, man, like, she's like, I don't really believe in ghosts or nothing like that. But she's like, I was just kind of like, holy shit. And, well, she said at the old place, too, because she kept telling us when we told her about the show.
I got that on tape, her saying that. Tell them the story.
Yeah, I'll have to, I got to check that. It's on my phone somewhere. Yeah. We'll see how much of it got on.
Yeah, she's wild.
Yeah, she was, like, funny as hell. But she was talking about, she said, at the old place, I don't think she saw it, but she said one of the other employees, she said at the old place, she's like, somebody came in or they were going to close or no, it was like really early in the morning. She said it was like 5 o'clock in the morning and somebody had come in and they said they saw a guy walk through the place and like go in the bathroom. And they're like, so they go in there like, hey bro, we're like not open yet. And they went in the bathroom and there was nobody in there. So yeah. So she's like the old place. Cause she told us, oh, you guys should go like do an investigation over there because that's the place that this restaurant used to be at. And she's like, that shit's super haunted. Now she did she say that the building that we're in now is haunted? I think she kind of said, well, I don't think she's seen anything, but she said like the glass storage, being like thrown and stuff like that was,
she says the whole area is supposed to be, is rumored to be.
It's Mount Dora, by the way. It's the historic district of Mount Dora, which, like I said, I think that's maybe like the only second time in my life I've ever been down there. But there's some cool shit down there.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that's only like 10 miles away. I should go down there and like poke around because.
Man, I don't know why I'm coughing.
Yeah, you're having all kind of problems.
I don't feel sick. I feel like I'm smoking cigarettes.
I don't know.
Okay, so we...
Danny says, what's BTK's opinion on gin?
On gin? Oh, on the gin? Yeah. Oh, well, you know, everybody knows it. It's Islam. If it was true, it'd be in the Bible.
I kind of feel like that's probably exactly what he would say.
Of course, yeah.
I like that little... I don't know if you guys know, but the little BTK that's back there, in one of his hands, he has a little cross.
Yeah, yeah. He was religious.
He was very religious.
Or wanted to appear religious.
Well, that's how they busted him was from, because he was sending like his weird letters like, or saving the shit like on the disc like at the church. Yeah.
He was having necrophiliac photo shoots with beautiful grannies in the church. Laying them out in the church, taking pictures of them.
That's right, that one woman. That was, and she lived like down the street from him, right?
Yeah. He was doing the whole pantyhose fetish and everything.
What the fuck, bro? Seriously, like, read that book. Like, I think it's called, like, Sophie sent it to me, right? I think it's just called Confessions of a Serial Killer. That's all about BTK. And it's all about her correspondence, because she corresponded with this fucking freak for years and years. Like, the shit, his thought processes just blew my fucking mind. I can't even explain it. I was just like, is this dude even, like, what is the matter with you? Literally.
The thing that gets me is, like, I guess you could say how kind of masculine he wanted to appear, you know? Like, he's a fucking tough guy, you know? Even though he's a dog catcher and just, nothing wrong with that. It's just, he wanted to be
a measurer.
He wanted to be a cop, you know? And he wouldn't cut out for a cop. He's just not the right personality. He was doing stuff like going out into the woods and digging graves and setting up a camera and putting on women's underwear and putting on a woman's mask and getting down in there and taking pictures of himself somehow. I guess he pulled the camera. Was there a string on the camera? And he was taking pictures of himself in the grave.
Yeah, it might have been. Or no, I think it had a timer on it.
Timer? Okay. He was just a fucking trip. And I don't know how he got all that shit developed. I guess he developed it himself.
Oh, I don't remember if he said. Yeah, because it's not... Yeah, back in the old days, you had to, like, take the shit to be...
Yeah, to the photo map. People be looking at your fucking photos before you got them. So,
sorry, I just thought... See, remember how I said the other day that sometimes I'll just...
Dudes are fucking copying their photos.
Sometimes I just think of, like, random quotes from movies. I just thought of, woo, it's more of the redhead with the tattoo.
Yeah.
Like the two kids that worked in the photo booth. I think that
there was always
from...
rumors that those dudes were copying films.
I'm sure they did if they were good ones. Because, like I said, unless you had a Polaroid, I mean, get a fucking Polaroid if you're going to take fucking.
They did took shitty pictures back then.
Well, I know they did.
No, it's just easier to get your own. It's easy to develop. Get developing solutions and a fucking magnifier and a damn.
Yeah, I learned how to do it in school.
No, it's just thing you do. That'd be the way to do it.
Just it's a pain in the ass. Yeah. But if you're privacy. Really committed.
Yeah.
To,
it's not that expensive.
I'm not encouraging it.
It's not that expensive.
No, I'm just saying, like, not if you're a serial killer, obviously. But if you want to do your own porn, like, yes. Nowadays, like, this...
Digital now.
That's what I mean. Like, nowadays, it's a moot point because you don't need to do that shit nowadays. Zach says, I like how you call it the Historic District of Mount Dora, like that's its actual name. Well, it's not its actual name, but it's... I mean, the town's name is Mount Dora, but not all of it is historic.
Yeah.
Like, some of it's just, like, looks like regular... But
it's like the tourist area.
Yeah, like the old part, like is just kind of like this little really, and it's all like little museums and little antique shops and cool little bars and coffee shops and shit like that. It's pretty cool.
People fucking forget that Florida's older than the United States. All right, this is older than the United States. Goes back.
Well,
to
yeah, like I said, I think I said that about like Mount Dora, like the whole historic thing, like on the lakeside in Mount Dora is not. I don't know what year they built that, but. I mean, it's not as old as, like, St. Augustine, which is, like, fucking...
14, 13, something.
Which
right?
is, no, 1500s.
1500s, okay.
Some of that was from 1500s or 1600s. Yeah. Not all of it, obviously. Like, not all the houses around there, but, I mean, it's pretty, like, a lot
of
old shit.
Yeah, you go down to Mount Dora, the churches look like Spanish churches and just kind of Spanish Empire-looking stuff. But the Spanish were here, the British were here, Seminoles. I think the Dutch were here, too.
Everybody tramped
French.
All,
everybody was here.
Tramped all over this place.
Yeah. Hands too. Who owned what? And they would fight over stuff.
Omri Von Vampire says, "Happy birthday, Jenny! Thank you. I always love to watch your haunting shows." Yeah, shame you got here like after we were done talking about the show. But oh well. Well, it's still there. Like you can like watch it. Danny Rowling said, "It's crazy how most serial killers were ex-military. Yeah, a lot of them are, or were cops. Or I kind of feel like there's not all of them because there's exceptions." But I do kind of feel like people that tend to become serial killers, they have a very, some of them have like a really like authoritarian kind of mindset or they enjoy that kind of thing.
I think that's only part of it. I think what it is that most guys that have the urges of a serial killer don't have enough experience or enough training or confidence to actually kill the three in succession that you need to become a serial killer. They get caught before that, most of them. So the guys that make it to three plus killings are guys that have some kind of a training philosophy in their background or the confidence that they need to do it. And sometimes they get that from the police and military. I mean, look at old, what's his name? The original Night Stalker, D'Angelo.
That's who I was thinking of.
D'Angelo, he was doing shit that fucking dudes in Delta Force wouldn't try to pull off. Sneaking into people's houses to set the house up so he could come in later at night when both the people are in there and then do a takeover. That's a fucking risky ass mission. But he'd do it. He'd stay in the houses for fucking hours, eating their fucking shit, going to rape the woman and go make fun of the dude and go back to the damn kitchen.
Putting dishes on the dude's back. Like, yeah. If I hear these rattling, I'm gonna
kill her. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a pussy. He was a big dude. He was mean. He went in there.
Not anymore, he's not.
No, not anymore. He was
now
fucking
he's just
mean,
like an old fart in a
mean
wheelchair.
Mean motherfucker. Mean little dick motherfucker. And he never would have had the balls to do that if he hadn't been a cop. I think he was military too, wasn't he? Or just a cop?
Yeah, I think he was both, actually, right. Now if I'm remembering correctly. Yeah.
He knew that you could sneak around with a gun in the middle of the night in people's backyards and get into a house silently and the neighbors would never know if he set it up right. So he had that confidence. I mean, and I learned that in Korea. There'd be 50 of us in the fucking platoon wearing body armor, fucking helmets. I was carrying an M60 fucking belt-fed machine gun. And we would walk through Koreans' backyards all night long, climbing their fences and everything. 50 of us in a Ranger file. And not a single light turn on in the middle of the night. You would think 50 men would be heard. No. And we weren't that quiet. Climbing over their fences and shit. Never saw us. 50 heavily armed dudes in body armor. Back in the 90s, it was just part of our fucking training and our patrols going one place to the next. There just happened to be villages in the way. We just fucking went right through them. You know.
Omri Vampire said, have you read Catherine Ramsland's work? That's who I was just talking about. She wrote a book called Confessions of a Serial Killer. Yeah. She corresponded with BTK for a really long time. Thank you, Katie. Thank you. Happy birthday, Jenny, from Pat and Kat. You guys are amazing, thank and you. We're happy to celebrate a part of it with you guys. Aw, thank you so much. That's awesome. But yeah, that's who I was thinking of, Catherine Ramsland. Yeah, our friend Sophie sent me that book, and I'm fascinated by serial killers because the way that their brains work is just so alien, and that's interesting to me. It's horrifying, but it's also kind of interesting. So, like, reading his letters and, like, the things that he thought about himself and the things that he thought about what he was doing really, like, weirded me out. Like, the whole time I was reading that, it was kind of, like, blowing my mind. I was just kind of like, holy shit, like, how can anybody's brain be that fucking different from my brain? Because I was like, I have no idea, like, where you're coming from with that. You know what I mean? Fucking crazy. Crazy.
Each one's a little bit different.
They are, yeah. So. That was just him. But.
Yeah.
Danny says, so is tomorrow's movie going to be Alligator? Probably. I was just talking about that earlier. I think it's still on Shudder. If it's not on Shudder, it's probably on another streaming service. I mean, if we have to pay for it, I guess we will. But I was just like, I don't know. We were watching Chud, and I was like, man, I kind of want to watch Alligator again, because I haven't seen that since I was a kid, and I remember, like, scaring the shit out of me. And so I kind of wanted to watch it again. And I think Shudder has it, but maybe not anymore. I'm not really sure, but I have to check. So hopefully it'll be that. We'll find it. We'll find it somehow. So you seem like you're winding down.
Yeah, I'm getting real hot.
He's winding down. Mm-hmm. All right. So thank you, everybody, for dropping by and talking about a haunting and celebrating my birthday with me. And we'll be back tomorrow, probably talking about Alligator from 1980, because that's kind of what I want to watch this evening. So that should be fun. So hopefully you guys will hang out with us again tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we will see you guys again tomorrow. Bye.